Support for the morning show comes from Andrea's, a Kenosha tradition since 1911. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. And don't forget about Jack's Cafe, Andrea's, 2401 60th Street, online at andreasgifts.com. WGTD is also supported by Carthage College, dedicated to combining an environment of reflection and self-discovery with a culture of high expectation, designed to allow students to uncover and ignite their potential. More information about undergraduate and adult education opportunities at carthage.edu. And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show on WGTDHD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. For at least most of today's morning show, we're going to be having what I'm sure will be a lively and interesting conversation with two guests who have joined us before on the morning show, Ray Forgiani and Melanie Hovey, who are both board members of Kenosha Common Markets. And this would be the nonprofit organization which operates Kenosha Harbor Market, which many of you, of course, are very familiar with, and soon to be operating as well a companion market in Westosha, beginning on the 4th of July, as a matter of fact. And so they are joining us today in the morning show to talk about all that's been going on with Kenosha Harbor Market, the Westosha Market soon to open, and some of the special events that are be coming up later. We'll also talk about kind of the ongoing search for a permanent home, a public market, and where we are in that particular study. Ray Forgiani and Melanie Hovey are both founding members of this undertaking. And again, Melanie is a board member. Ray is the president of Kenosha Common Markets. And we welcome both of you back to the morning show.
Hi, thank you.
Good morning.
Good to have both of you here. I was so glad my wife and I had the chance to pop down to Kenosha Harbor Market this past Saturday. What a gorgeous day for it. And we'd been there the previous Saturday, which was not quite so gorgeous. It was cloudy and it was cold, and we were there towards the end of the run, so things were even a little quieter than normal. But this past Saturday, my word, it was just the hustle and bustle that we've come to expect and love on any beautiful Saturday afternoon. Such a great pleasure to be there and to see all that's going on. Ray, maybe you could summarize for us kind of the state of things in terms of this year's Kenosha Harbor Market. How many vendors, how many guests have we been seeing? How has the summer been going thus far?
I actually have to say that this has probably been one of our more challenging years so far. Out of six Saturdays, it's rained three of them. That's the most rain we've had in market season since we began. I'm sure we're going to have more rain before the year's over. So we've had some challenging Saturdays. But you were right. Last Saturday was just a gorgeous day. Even the Saturday before, it turned cooler towards the end of the market. But most of the morning was a surprise because it looked like it was going to be a nasty day and turned out to be actually pretty delightful. The market is going very well this year. We're about a little ahead of where we were last year. A few more vendors than last year at this point, and we still are receiving vendors because we add vendors right up until the last 3 weeks of the year. And our crowds are already at this point we're not peaking, but we're already starting to we are surpassing the same numbers from last year. Last Saturday we were just about 200 shy of 10,000 people attending the market. And that last year we didn't achieve until we hit into mid-July. So we expect by August and July that we'll easily top 10,000 people per Saturday.
And, of course, my wife and I live in Racine, and so we were at least two Racinians who were there, and we bumped into five or six others that just Racinians that we happen to know. And, of course, beyond even the Kenosha-Racine area, I suppose – it's likely that you are drawing people as well outside of those two communities. Is there any way to know just where people are coming from?
Well, we did a zip code study. We basically randomly we used students from St. Joe's, and they randomly interviewed people coming in, simply asking what their zip code was. We found that, I guess I'll get to the important punchline first. 20% were coming from outside the county. That's a pretty substantial number. You really don't expect those kind of numbers. 10% were coming from the west of I-94, and the remainder, which I think is 70%, are coming from east of I-94. I guess that part of it shouldn't be that surprising. It's pretty much a gravity model that most grocery stores would use. So, yeah, our impact as a regional market is pretty strong. We do know that reach extends into southern Lake County and extends into Milwaukee County. And in some cases, such as we have people that live in Bayview, which come to our market, even though Bayview has a market on Saturday, a nice market, it may add. So the reach is pretty extensive, and it isn't just customers, it's also vendors. Our vendors come from that stretch and even further. We've got vendors that have come down from Madison and Sheboygan and Western Chicago, in Chicago.
Michigan,
yes. Well, that's one thing we're so happy that we continue to have a Michigan vendor. A vendor comes in with the fruit we can't grow here because they have a microclimate in the other side of the lake because of we say cooler near the lake on this side. The other side, it's warmer near the
right.
lake.
No, I remember buying blueberries from somebody from Michigan either last Saturday or the Saturday before, so I know what you're talking about. On a not-so-nice Saturday, and as you mentioned, there's several of them, we should probably be grateful that we're not in a drought, but nevertheless, it's nice when Saturdays can be nice and sunny. What happens on, for instance, a Saturday when it rains? Does the market go on, and who shows up? And I'm asking both about vendors and customers.
Yes, we operate rain or shine. I'm not going to say we won't close if it's absolutely dangerous out, because we don't want anyone hurt, and we certainly don't want our vendors to have their product or their equipment destroyed. And then that can happen in a windy location as it is in Harbor Park. I mean, people forget that Harbor Park is actually in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 90% made land, so it actually extends well into the lake. So when there's wind coming off the lake, it's certainly coming in on that side, it slows down. If fewer customers show up, but the customers that show up are our dedicated customers that are coming every week for the produce, every week for the processed food, every week for the essentials for everyday eating properly. And the vendors, we lose a few vendors. We'll lose a couple of the ones that are traveling great distances. But for the most part, we're all there. And I sort of joke when we – from a vendor, it's not necessarily a bad day. You maybe make less money. But what happens, it turns into a vendor day because the vendors are able to participate with each other more.
Ah.
So it becomes more of a community, more of a family, somewhat of a family event. So the vendors can talk a little bit more, be a little more freedom time and work with each other. So actually, even those days are still fun.
Absolutely, just fun in a different way. Maybe not so fun with the cash register.
Right.
But and you mentioned a couple of different new vendors joining you. Are there any that are worth specifically mentioning?
Well, one in particular joined us in the winter. Actually, someone Melanie spotted, and that's Kettle Cattle. This was a firm that was located in a different part of the state, has reorganized. And Melanie can probably describe their product better than I can, but go ahead, Melanie.
Kettle Range Meat Company is a organic and humane slaughter company that my husband and I haven't eaten meat for about 20 years. And they were the very, very first company that did the whole bit that they're hormone and antibiotic free, but that last piece of, you know, that the animals are treated humanely and humanely slaughtered was very important to us.
Hmm.
And when we met them and the company, Joe is just such a really terrific person that we've started eating meat a little bit, about, you know, once a week maybe.
Here and there.
And so that's a company that we're really proud to have with us. And they'll also be at West OSHA as well as downtown.
Where are they located or where do they come from?
They come from East Troy. The company originated, I'm not going to remember where, but it was
Right outside of Madison.
Yeah, outside of Madison, perhaps. And but they live in East Troy now, and that's where their office is, home office is.
And what's it called again?
Kettle Range Meat.
Range Meat.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting operation because he moved from doing the entire processing, everything from raising to slaughter to butcher to sales, And now what he's specializing more in is working with suppliers, suppliers being the farmer themselves, acquiring the animal, having it moved to the proper slaughtering and butchering operation, having it butchered to his specifications, and then putting the sales on a retail level. He's not a wholesaler, he's a retailer. So I find it interesting because you know me, I like grocery stores, and I shop grocery stores, and he'll beat everywhere I've been in terms of grass-fed animals, natural animals, in price point versus a grocery store. And the reliability of his product is much higher. You know, they say in this business that you really should eat food from the people you can talk to.
Yes.
You know, so you can talk to this guy, and I find it somewhat almost comical, but it's really cool, is that often he'll bring pictures of the animal that's been butchered. And it's sometimes surprising because you just assume it's a pig, and it turns out it's a pretty unique pig, you know, a special breed of pig or a special breed of cattle.
Huh. I remember they came from Black Earth Meats.
Oh, okay.
And Black Earth Meats lost its space, and so Kettle Range Meats spun off of that company.
I see. How did you come across them?
You know, I don't even remember.
Hmm.
We heard the fellow from Black Earth Meats talk at the Golden Rondelle too long ago, and we were very impressed with the whole operation that they had and got to know them that way.
Very good.
And we pursued him pretty hard, to be quite frank.
Mm-hmm.
And he's delighted with the market. Then he comes in, his whole staff, and just enjoy themselves.
Mm. Great. When we talk about the totality of Kenosha Harbor Market and the balance of produce versus artwork versus other kinds of vendors, do you have sort of a formula in your mind in terms of what you hope that balance will be? I mean, certain maybe even quotas or something, or don't you very much worry about that? And whoever wants to come to Harbor Market and sell their wares, it's fine with you.
It's a complicated formula that we can't write down because it's too complicated to write down. Do we have quotas? Not in the form you've just indicated. We're more careful to protect vendors in which we know there will be a limited demand. What we avoid through learning the hard way, we avoid making sure that we have too many vendors in a particular class of product because then they all lose money.
Right.
And that doesn't help anyone.
If everybody's
the vendors and the customers. And
if everybody's selling carrots, then.
We don't worry about produce.
Oh, okay.
Truly, I think in produce, it's virtually unlimited.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more of an issue of, let's say, soaps. Or if someone's doing prepared food, you really don't need six people selling some form of a hot dog. And that's where we ran into problems years ago. So at one point we had a percentage break between the art and the food, and we dispensed with that, I think, after about the fourth year because that balance
– It pretty much balanced itself.
And actually what we're doing separates us from most of the other farmers' markets. Many of the farmers' markets have rules like you have to come within 50 miles and it can only be food. We have a mixed market, which was modeled after something I'd seen in Europe, very much more common in Europe, where other things are sold other than just food. And we didn't do this by design, but it came out this way. We've not just developed a market, we've developed an experience. And I think you described it yourself. You come down, and you could have a bad day, a bad week. And at least for a couple hours, you can just have fun and forget about things.
Absolutely.
And it's an environment we've created. And I'm going to digress a little bit because I think this is a useful lesson to anyone in retail today. Over the holidays, the brick stores, national stores that made money versus the online sales were ones where it was an experience. The stores where you just went in and bought a product didn't do as well as the stores you went in and had fun.
Mm.
And then we didn't do it purposely, but it certainly came out that way. Between having live entertainment, surprises, a variety of vendors, a happy setting, a nice setting. We've created a real positive, happy experience for people.
Absolutely. And I can certainly vouch for that in terms of what my wife and I experienced in terms of and even the day that weather-wise wasn't so great. We had a wonderful lunch first at Ashling's and And when we were done, we had to go to Bjorn's and pick up something I needed to get. And in between that, we spent an absolutely lovely time, a chilly time that particular day, but a wonderful time at Harbor Market. It was absolutely great. Ray, you should maybe say a word about some upcoming events that are going to be happening at Kenosha Harbor Market.
Well, I'm not going to give you any dents. It is, some people attend all week. You have every week three venues of music. With two venues on 2nd Avenue and one venue on the Plaza. There's some upcoming, there'll be some flash mobs again this year, just as we've done in past years. I can't tell you what the dates are, but the
or they wouldn't be flash mobs anymore.
If you see an advertisement with a question mark, you know a flash mob's going to happen sometime during that day. They'll be a little different than last year, which is good. We have a tap dancer come periodically. She brings a musician with her, and they move up and down the aisles and tap dance. It sounds a little hokey, I know, but it isn't. Tap dance, it's cool to watch. It's kind of something you just don't expect. One other big change this year is that if you followed us, you know we've been growing from the inception from 10 to 20% per year in terms of the size of the market, so number of vendors. And this year isn't any different. We've anticipated that we will need more space, and the city granted us the opportunity to operate in 56th Street. So come July 11th, part of one lane of the boulevard of 56th Street between 1st and 3rd Avenue will be closed for the duration of the market because we'll be occupying it, the expansion of our market space.
Wow.
Now, there won't be an additional musician in there because we have no electricity, but so we're trying it out this year for July and August, and if it works, then. But the game plan really to continue to expand the market all the way to the downtown core.
Wow.
Now, we know we impacted downtown in a very positive way. We have vendors that tell us that both work in the market and have stores downtown that their sales downtown are the sale of the whole week because of that spinoff effect from the market. But at the same time, the market also seems to generate more revenue when they're in the market itself than just when they're downtown. So we're trying to as much connect the two to benefit the two.
Very good. The matter of entertainment, is that something you also saw in some of the markets you visited in Europe, or is that more unique to America?
You know, I think musicians and art is universal, and it certainly it really speaks to the culture and character of a community that provide a good base for those activities. But frankly, the idea of adding the musicians is really a local one. Back when I was a teenager, one of my uncles took me down to Maxwell Street, and there was always live music in Maxwell Street. So that concept, I mean, and you know this, you're aware of this, is that I visit markets all the time, and I try to find what's weak and what's strong and what's really cool. And if I see something that's really cool, to see if we can embrace it in our market. So the musicians came, the idea of the music came really out of Maxwell Street out of Chicago. For the mixed market, really came out of Paris. And the idea of having no vehicles also came out of Europe in general. Very seldom do you see vehicles.
Interesting. For those of you just joining us, we're talking about Kenosha Harbor Market and about to start talking about the market that's about to open in Westosha under the auspices of the nonprofit Kenosha Common Markets. Ray Forgiani is the president. Melanie Hovey is a board member, and both are co-founders of this exciting undertaking. And what year are we talking about for Kenosha Harbor Market?
14th year. I've lost count.
2003.
Wow. Time flies when you're having fun.
Started with 18 vendors.
I was just going to ask, look what a mighty oak has sprung from that small seed. Well, speaking of small seeds and what we hope will be something comparably mighty, a market is about to open in Westosha, and as a matter of fact, will open on the 4th of July. And it's also probably really important, just as we talk about Westosha, to also remind people that Kenosha Harbor Market will not be operating on the 4th of July due to some matters involving permits and so on. I'm not sure there's much we need to say. How have you tried to get the word out so you don't have a lot of people streaming into Kenosha on the 4th?
Well, they'll stream into the 4th, and they'll find all kinds of festivities. They just won't find the market.
Well, fair enough. So tell us about this expansion into Westosha. First of all, did anything in particular prompt it?
Well, Ray's probably going to help me with this. We've been thinking about expanding markets for a long time, years. And I think the stars kind of aligned whenever the Aquaterra folks who own the farm at which the Westosha market will occur, they offered up their space, their farm, for us to have a market. So we've leased that space from them. And we just started talking about what is it that we could do. There are so many people that were very interested in, you know, having a market west of the I. There's, you know, of course, a lot of people out there. And certainly to have something midweek and have something in the evening is different for us. And so it's this grand experiment that, you know, like Ray said, that the downtown market opened with 18 people and will be opening with just a few more than that. And who knows, maybe 14 years from now, Westosha Market will also be a grand, grand thing.
As Melanie indicated, we looked at it for a while, and there were times where we looked to see should we be out there. But there was also recognition. With my background of city planning, you recognize when the marketplace becomes saturated. And there was this proliferation of markets in all the counties in this area. But at the same time, what I knew about markets was there were too many, they were poorly located, and the result was is they would disappear one by one. So very much we just sat in the weeds and waited for the smoke to clear. The smoke has cleared, and I had eyed different potential locations. We had, again, my experience in planning told me the primary location is try to be along a state highway if possible. Because we knew there's more traffic, more visibility. And in seeing that, myself and the market manager went out and visited the village of Bristol. I'd had good working relationship with them, despite the fact that was a horrible fight back over incorporation and annexation. But that was on me, to be honest with them. And we sat down and talked about potential locations, and they were enthused. They had a market operating at the village hall. They were pleased to say they would move it over to us if we could set one up. And in the discussion, they mentioned that this aquaponic operation had started. So we popped back in the car and drove over there, met the folks, the Pinots, really nice people, very environmentally minded. Amazing to see someone take a piece of land who really are industrialists and really care about the land. They're growing fish. They sell their fish at our market. They're rated one of the best fish purveyors by Zagat, believe it or not. I threw the concept at them just right on the spot, and they said, yeah, they liked it. They agreed to provide us that opportunity to operate there. So they're working very closely with us to make this successful. Let me comment further on just how helpful of the leadership of the village of Bristol has been. Very helpful. I know Melly even asked for picnic tables. It's no problem. I can bring some picnic tables.
I want to get something clarified. I think you said at some point in talking about that Bristol already has a market?
They had one.
Oh, they had one.
Yeah,
okay.
There was like, I don't know, a handful of vendors.
Okay, so pretty small, and it no longer exists?
Well, last year was there last year.
Gotcha.
And we have a few of their vendors have applied for our Westosha market. Mm-hmm. A market is pretty hard to run. And it's not something that, you know, everybody has this great idea that they want to run a market, and they're very excited about it. And the first year, everybody's gung-ho, and the volunteers are excited. But when you get into year two and three and five, it's a lot of work.
to sustain that effort.
Absolutely. And one thing that we've done since the very beginning is we've really put the fees that people pay us into advertising, into making commitments to really market the market so that people really know and come from far and wide. And I think it really shows because we are very, very successful where other markets kind of, you know, fall by the wayside because the people don't realize how much work it is.
Right. And I suppose when you just look at something like a market, on the one of the things that's really nice about it is that it, although it's in one way complicated, and on the other hand, it seems really simple, really direct. It kind of looks like a bunch of people just showed up and sort of
like
set up their wares.
Just like playing the violin.
Just like going to Disney World.
When you do
never
something
see the,
well.
You never see the characters out of character.
Right.
And so what we really pride ourselves on having an operation where the mechanics are invisible.
Right.
So it does look simple.
Absolutely.
It's and simply complicated. But
yes. Right. And so people just at a glance would just have no idea how many questions there are you have to answer, how many details you have to address and really be careful about.
And that's what you see time and again is that markets start out very strong and then they fall by the wayside and nobody can really figure out exactly why. But that's why, because you have to keep it up and grow.
Right. Let's talk a moment further about this matter of location. Ray, you mentioned the fact that one of the most important things in choosing location is some place that's not tucked so far out of the ordinary. It might even be a perfectly lovely location, but if people just don't drive past it, you're not going to gain much in the way of a groundswell of people who just stop by because, hey, there's a market. It looks really nice. What else needs to go into the really important matter of location?
It's complicated, and I can't say it's a moving set of parts. It isn't just visibility. Certainly Harbor Park is not a visible location.
Right.
You can't see it from a highway, but it's a destination on its own. There's enough strength there for that to be a sensational base to operate from.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to take the formulas that you'll find most real estate experts and most food chains, gas stations look for, it's not that much different. You want a location, if possible, that's visible, that has a good amount of traffic nearby, that has population, some population concentration. But in this particular, doing the western end of the county is more complicated than doing the urban center. There's a reason why you have density in downtowns. It's because there's more people. And more people, it's much easier to do business and be profitable. It's much more difficult to take something and do a startup in a more rural setting.
Right.
So this particular location had availability certainly was a factor. It has wind breaks, which is a big factor for an outdoor market.
Mm.
It's visible because it's on Highway 50. And I can't say that it isn't true, but having governmental support is extremely helpful as well. Although I have to say, the help we receive from Kenosha County and the help we receive, we have a sanitarian that's on our board and a very good support from the county executive's office, and then the support we've gotten from Bristol, both from the chair and the president, makes it a lot easier.
How far west did you want to be? I mean, does this feel like a really good location in that respect? Because, of course, Kenosha County stretches far, far, far west. Most people who don't venture out the way have no idea how far you can drive and still be in Kenosha County. I mean, how close to the eye did you want to be in order to capitalize on that population density?
That was
there?
About the target area. We looked at a range that really went on just a few miles in each direction from that corner of 45 and 50. Hmm. It's not that far. We get this concept thinking things are far away. From my home to this market site's 20 minutes. I live in the city. And, if you think about driving across the city, it's about 20 minutes.
Right.
So, unless you're right down in lawn on the lakefront, it's going to be a little longer than that. But if you live on let's say, west of 30th, it's going to be a 25, 20-minute drive.
And on a beautiful Saturday, what's wrong with that?
Yeah. We're fortunate that the leadership back in the 70s punched through Highway 50 to Lake Geneva. I worked for the city long enough to remember that whole discussion when the city worked closely with Kenosha County at the time. I remember working with the county board members and how important that highway was, because it brought the tourism that out of Chicago that was headed to Lake Geneva into the Kenosha County, and we're going to take advantage of that.
So you're hoping that, for instance, folks from Lake Geneva are going to...
Absolutely.
And, of course, we broadcast now pretty potently into the Lake Geneva area and Elkhorn, so some of the folks listening to us out that direction, it's important that we're having this conversation. Yes. Melanie, tell us something about the 22 vendors that are going to be at the Westosha Market for this opening day on the 4th of July.
So we put the word out that we're opening a new market, you know, certainly with our vendors, but then just generally into the public. And most of the vendors that you will find at the new Westosha Market are vendors that we already know and love that are going to do a midweek market. And then there's a few people that are coming, kettle corn people and stuff like that are coming that were new, that were vendors at the Bristol Market. But they're just a nice mix, some artists, mostly food, some produce. There'll be the Aquaterra folks whose property we occupy. They'll be there. Kettle Range Meats will be there. So you'll see a fine mix of mostly food, Pedro's food, for prepared food. So you can either have some dinner there or you can take some dinner home. But a smaller variety of the same sorts of things that you'll see downtown.
Very good. So the first time the market opens then is the 4th of July.
July 4th, yeah.
This Saturday. So, for instance, today, the last day of June, what remains to be done? Or are you just sitting here waiting for July 4th to roll around?
No. Oh, no. I bought my spray paint to mark out the lines for where the tents go. And, oh, there's a lot of little things, all the details, the no parking signs and the parking this way signs and those kinds of things, just all the small details of getting out together for the day. Hmm. And I'm sure there's going to be some chaos that day, but I think everybody will be happy and in good mood and we'll be excited to bring it to the people.
Let's explain a little better exactly where it's located. I don't think we've actually spelled that out beyond the address. I wrote it down someplace. 210-210-10 75th Street. So how far out is that on Highway 50?
It's 3/4 mile past Highway 45 on Highway 50. So just take Highway 50 all the way out past Highway 45, and it's a little farther beyond that.
And Highway 45 is where the county has their satellite facility. You can recognize it for those people. I know a lot of people aren't going to remember where Highway 45 is. If you go out Highway 50, there's a tower where the county is. If you go past that, almost midway between 45 and Paddock Lake, that's where the market opens.
Benson Corners.
And you were saying that there used to be a pretty good-sized farm stand called Farmer Brown's, and that's this is just about exactly where that is.
That then is where that is, absolutely.
So when does it open?
It opens at 9 a.m. on July 4th until 2 o'clock, the same hours as Harbor Market, but it is a midweek Wednesday evening market, so it will start right away July 8th from 3 p.m. until 7:30 p.m.
Important to repeat that because we spent a lot of time talking about it opening on Saturday.
Right.
It is a Wednesday market.
Right. Normally.
After Saturday, it will only be on Wednesdays.
Right. I suppose in some ways, although I know you're very frustrated about not being able to have normal Kenosha Market, Harbor Market on Saturday, the 4th, and yet in some ways this really opens up an opportunity that you might not otherwise have for maybe a good number of folks who would normally be at Harbor Market to check out Westosha.
Yeah.
At least that's what you're, I suppose your fingers are crossed.
Yeah. No, exactly. If there's an inconvenience, I think it's more to the customers. We have a very strong core of people that come to the market to get their produce, their fresh eggs, their bread for the week. And that's not closed to them. But we've, as you pointed out, it's like, what do you do with lemons? You make lemonade. We said, well, we had an opportunity. We're going to open up the following Wednesday. Why don't we have a grand opening on 4th of July? What a wonderful day to have a grand opening.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be great. So what will the normal operating hours be then on Wednesday evenings?
It'll be Wednesday evening. July 8th is when it's opening, and it's from 3 p.m. until 7:30 p.m., and it will continue Wednesday evenings through the last Wednesday of August, which is August 26th, I believe.
So our first year, we're doing it for 2 months. This is, Melanie said, she called it an experiment. We're just, we're testing the market. We didn't want to go too far out there.
Sure.
We're assuming it'll be successful. We would expect that next year it'll be a much longer season.
Right.
For those of you just joining us, we're speaking today on the morning show with Ray Forgiani and Melanie Hovey, who are both on the board for Kenosha Common Markets. This would be the nonprofit which operates the Kenosha Harbor Market, well known to so many of you, and now operating a market in Westosha. And does that have its own specific legal name?
Well,
out in Westosha, or what?
No, that's its name, Westosha Market, spelled together, and it's in Bristol, Wisconsin.
You know, it's a term that has been used for years on the western end of the county. They consider themselves Westosha. There's a Westosha Historical Society, the Westosha News, and we thought about it. We expect this to be the farmer's market for western Kenosha County. So what better name to come up with than call it Westosha?
Absolutely. It's what it is. In addition to that exciting development, there, of course, is kind of this ongoing search for what might be called kind of a perhaps permanent home for Harbor Market. And Ray, you were saying before we went on the air that in talking about this, it's important that we clarify two terms, public market and winter market, which kind of get swapped together or used carelessly.
I think most people really don't know what a public market is, and I think there's been a community assumption that the public market is simply a permanent place for a winter market. And the winter market has really been an extension of our summer market. We're able to move a handful of vendors indoors for the winter.
To the Rhodey.
Yes, to the Rhodey Center for the Arts. The public market is really a year-round indoor market that's open daily. And it's sort of the idea of a specialized grocery store where rather than having the departments in the grocery store, you actually have independent retailers who would be predominantly selling food products. So you'd typically find a public market would operate most of the week, some of the week, but probably most of the week. Some places, even 7 days a week. It's open the hours you would expect a grocery store to be open. Typically, we'll have a butcher, a fishmonger, a baker, produce, and other services. Often they have some dining. And you find this proliferation very widely in Europe and very widely on the East Coast and in Canada. This is one of those areas where Canada is just, maybe they just have more of a European culture to it. My first one that I saw was in Toronto, the St. Lawrence Market. It was in an exposition building, and I just fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. Every time I go to Toronto, we always go to St. Lawrence Market. But if you go to some of the great cities in this country, whether it's the best indoor market, Pike's Place in Seattle,
right,
or you go to the Ferry Terminal, which is one of the top 10 in San Francisco, or the Oxbow in Napa, or you go to Reading Terminal in Philadelphia, or Fells Point in Baltimore, or Faneuil Hall Quincy Market in Boston, it's Chelsea and one of the newer ones in New York City. New York City's got all kinds of them. What they are is really to service the neighborhood and a community, but largely neighborhood. The biggest proliferation I saw was in Barcelona. And I would say from where we stayed, there was within a mile radius, it'd be a two-mile diameter, there probably was six indoor markets. Every neighborhood had an indoor market. And where we stayed actually had two. But that's a little different lifestyle because the Europeans tend to buy their food daily, where in this country, over the last 50 years, we've started to buy our stuff, I think, yearly. you go to a grocery store and you see people with a cart, and it looks like they've got a year's supply of food. And I'm going to transition this a little bit to say there's some food trend changes that are going really happening in this country, and it's being really driven by the millennium. The millenniums, the younger people are recognizing the value of eating fresh, quality food and more concerned about its quality and its freshness than they are about the price point.
Yeah.
Whereas we've came out, just us baby boomers came out of the 50s and the 60s thinking it was about price point. So we tend to buy based on what's the lowest price, where the Europeans and the millenniums tend to buy what's the best quality. So we're seeing this major movement in this country away from the traditional super large grocery store, even though we just had a couple open here, and more downsizing.
Right. I've been to two of the places you mentioned. The first I saw was the market in Seattle, and then quite recently, I don't remember if it was last summer or the summer before, my wife and I visited the public market in Philadelphia. It's just extraordinary. I mean, it is such an exciting place to be. Now, that's, of course, two cities much larger than Kenosha. So is it common for a city the size of Kenosha to have something like that? I mean, can you point to similar cities and say, yes, this kind of thing worked in a place like that?
Well, there are fewer of them, to say the very least, because I think the proliferation of public markets in this country is now just starting to, we're starting to just see it. It's sort of like how the farmers markets exploded in the 15 years ago. There was an explosion over this time period and continues, and the idea of buying fresher. The public markets are just now starting to come into their own in cities. So are there a lot of small cities with them? No, but there are small cities with it. We'll use Grand Rapids as an example. They just opened one last year.
Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Grand Rapids, Michigan, just an excellent market, just beautiful. Columbus, Ohio would be another example, maybe a little larger city. Actually, Ohio has quite a few markets. It's quite amazing how they seem to be very cultural in where they've located. I was surprised that Chicago has no public market.
Yeah.
Milwaukee has one, though. Madison is working on one. Rockford's working on one. So we'd like to be able to think that we're on closer to the cutting edge than the heel of the knife.
Right.
Yes. I mean, it is uncommon for a city of this size to have the outdoor market that we have.
Right. Good point.
Seriously, we have done so many really amazing things that a community of our size has not, you know, undertaken. And we're going to build on that.
Right. So I know that a very extensive study is underway right now. Tell us what is being studied and at what point are we right now in that arc?
Joint effort between the Kenosha Area Development Corporation, the Downtown Association, the City of Kenosha, Kenosha County, Kenosha Common Markets, Kenosha County Extension. They leave anyone out?
I think that's everybody.
To undertake a study about the viability, feasibility, and location of a public market. We're about, I'd say, halfway through that study. It's a preliminary study. I don't want anyone to expect when that study is done that, oh, a market's going to be built. Mm-mm. It's going to take more work than that. And I know a lot of people don't think the idea of a community doing studies is a waste of money. And I will tell you, having worked with enough people in the private sector, that's how the private sector does business. The private sector determines if something is feasible before they make investments. And I'll tell you, some of the most successful cities in this continent do the same thing. I can remember sitting down with some of the leadership in Toronto when they did St. Lawrence Market and they redid this whole neighborhood. They didn't just step into it. They said they would test things first, even things like parks. If they thought something might work, they would make a low-level investment as a trial run. And if it was popular, then they'd make a large investment. Otherwise, you wind up with albatrosses. So
right.
This is no different. The feasibilities determine its feasibility. Is there enough market demand? Will there be enough revenue expressed to be able to cover operating costs? And at the same time, it will also then venture into how big should it be? What its component should be, roughly how many square feet, should it have a community kitchen in it, should it have extra space that could be used for other purposes in the community, and it'll also delve into some sorting out of potential locations without necessarily pinpointing a particular location.
Right. I don't know how much you want to get specific. You have a sense that there are some really viable locations in the downtown area. We're not talking about building something new, but trying to utilize something which right now maybe sits empty or is underutilized?
Well, I think we all would love that. And I mean, some of the successful markets I've seen have used existing buildings, and I'll use Toronto as one example. And certainly Reading Terminal at one point was, but that changed. And Seattle's Pike's Place is a mixture. The ferry terminal in San Francisco is an old building, but the Oxbow and Napa is a brand new building. So I don't know that any market is necessarily, any public market is necessarily tied in to using an existing building. And Barcelona, which is the cutting edge of the world, as far as I can tell, is right now in the process of redoing every one of their markets. Some are old buildings, some are new buildings. But when they get done, I saw one of the completed ones, it's like, well, they're essentially brand new buildings. So will an existing building work? It might work, but there are a lot of components to it. We have to have some visibility. It's got to be accessible. We have an issue over parking for vendors because, one, I don't believe one can separate the public market from Harbor Market. The two, to be successful, have to conjoin, so they have to be together. That really lends some more complications to it.
Are you saying geographically,
yes,
among other things? So this needs to be adjacent to.
Well, when we're pulling in 10,000 people on a Saturday, if you were going to operate an open an operation, would you separate it from the 10,000 people? I think that would be just not good business sense.
That would be pretty foolish. So, but right, that in a sense boxes you into a more limited array of choices, but there are some choices, some really exciting possibilities.
So understand, this is my opinion, not necessarily what will come from the consultant or from the study, but it's my belief the market location will need to be on the edge of the downtown. Hmm. Not much different than what happened in Grand Rapids with theirs. They didn't locate it in the core. They located it on the edge of the downtown.
Right. So we're kind of midway in this study, and once those results are compiled and completed and shared, then at that point some decisions get to be made, and of course we'll be watching that with great interest. In our last few moments, let's reiterate probably the most important announcement to make, or the most important reminder to people, namely what happens on the 4th of July. Melanie.
Stop into West Osha Market. It's 3/4 of a mile past Highway 45 on Highway 50 from 9 a.m. until 2, and then come on the following Wednesday from 3 to 7:30.
And ongoing Wednesdays, then,
ongoing
the West Osha
Wednesday.
Market.
Yes.
So no Kenosha Harbor Market this Saturday. Head your way
out to
West Osha and
Bristol.
Take in all that they are going to be offering up. And the extended forecast, 4th of July, sunny, high of 79.
Yay.
So it looks like you've ordered up exactly what you want for a big opening day for the West Osha market. Ray Forgiani, Melanie Hovey, a great pleasure to speak with both of you today on The Morning Show. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for all the hard work that you've done on behalf of Kenosha Common Markets.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Good to
Happy
have you.
Happy Independence Day, everyone.
Tomorrow on The Morning Show, you'll hear my interview with Brandon Doman. He is responsible for something called the Stranger Project, in which he has compiled literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of stories from complete strangers and compiled them into a really fascinating book. And we're going to be talking with him about the Stranger Project, and that's on tomorrow's Morning Show. The Morning Show airs every week.